Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Reading at verse 1, give you a literal translation. There is now no condemnation. The word no is literally not even one. It's very emphasized in the Greek text. Not even one judgment or condemnation is against the ones who are in Christ Jesus. The word for judgment or condemnation is a legal term that means to have a sentence against you. It is righteous judgment. There is not even one now righteous judgment against the ones who are in Christ Jesus. Interesting, we saw the same phrase in Ephesians this morning, one of Paul's favorite, again, talking positionally here. And then we have the last part of verse 1, which is actually added. Not that it isn't true, because it is genuine in verse 4. But for some reason, the scribes decided to bring up this information from verse 4 in order to add to the definition and meaning of those who are in Christ. And in doing so, they also created a problem. And we'll get to that in a moment. To those who are in Christ Jesus, that is those who are not walking according to flesh, but are walking according to spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus freed me from the law of sin and of death. The English text says, for what the law could not do, literally for the inability of the law, in which it was weak through the flesh, God judged concerning sin, having sent his own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin and concerning sin. And he judged in his flesh in order that the righteous judgment of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here's the original. The ones not walking according to flesh, but according to spirit. Several things about verse 1 that we want to study this morning in the few moments that we have. The normal Greek word for therefore is literally the word then. Ara, which shows a continuation from verse 7. It's a concluding statement, but a continuing statement in order to connect us back with chapter 7. Remembering that chapters 6, 7, and 8 are all one section. We're studying the doctrine of sanctification. Chapter 1, verse 10 through chapter 3, verse 20 was the doctrine of condemnation, and that was the indictment against us. In chapter 3, verse 21 through the end of chapter 5, it was the doctrine of justification, and it was the imputation, something put to our account. And now we're in the doctrine of sanctification, something that is imparted to us. Righteousness is put to our account. I am not righteous. My account says that all of my sins have been, the penalty has been paid, so that when I stand before him, I will be righteous. But right now, I am not a righteous person, but by faith it's on my account. But sanctification is something that's given to me. Sanctification happens when the Holy Spirit comes into a person's soul or their spirit. We call it being born again. We call it receiving Christ. Receiving Christ is not something that's mental, it's something that is spiritual. You literally receive Him into your spirit. And when the Holy Spirit, and that's the adjective form of sanctification, when the Holy Spirit comes into my spirit, and the word holy means to be set apart, I am then set apart for Christ because of the presence of God's Spirit. And the sanctification experience is that coming of His Spirit into my spirit. I am now set apart for Christ, for Him and for His purposes. So Paul, in these three chapters, 6, 7, and 8, is going into detail describing this entire process. In chapter 6, he told us, especially verse 6, about the power over sin. That Christ died on the cross, and that when He died my death, so that I am now dead to the sin principle, who is Satan. Death means separation, not non-existence. By receiving Christ, I have been separated from sin. It no longer dominates and controls my life, but it's still there in my flesh, not in my soul. And so in chapter 6, he says, because God has saved you, sin no longer lords it over you. And when the tug of sin through the flesh tugs on you, you have a choice. Whereas before you received Christ, you didn't have a choice. Sin was energizing you to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So he tells us about the power over sin through Jesus Christ, but he also tells us in chapter 6 about the flesh. That we still have choices to make, and he says our choice should be to yield the instruments or parts of our body to Christ to be instruments of righteousness, not instruments of unrighteousness. And so after he presents the whole package in chapter 6, he then takes that package apart. Chapter 7, he talked about the problem of the flesh, and now in chapter 8, he's going to talk about the provision of the Spirit. We saw him last week in chapter 7 explain his difficulty before receiving Christ. Was that in the flesh, in the human, he tried to keep the law of God. And the more he tried to keep the law of God, the more he sinned. He said, that which was given to give life to me brought death to me. But then he came to an awareness that God's law doesn't produce sin. God's law brings sin to the surface. It's there all the time. So the more I hear of God's law, the more sin in me is going to sin. That's the nature of the beast. You tell it what not to do, it's going to do it. So Paul says, that's not going to get me anywhere as far as my salvation goes. But he has a conflict within him. And at the end of chapter 7, he presents a couple of laws for us. That with his mind, he desires to serve the law of God, but with his flesh, the law of sin. And he finds this other law that basically says, at the time that I desire to follow the Lord, evil is present with me. All the time. Like somebody leaning over your shoulder, yelling in your ear. Always there to cause trouble. So he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have the victory. Now in chapter 8, he's describing the victory. In the human, he tried to keep the law of God. He couldn't do it. Like, it got worse. And the only element was the inner man. He says it's the inner man that desires the things of God. And we'll see here in chapter 8 next week that he's going to say, the flesh has no ability to keep the law of God. Ever. See, that's why the Holy Spirit has to come within. It's kind of like keeping a dog on a leash. You let it free, it's going to be the animal that it is. So God sends his Spirit. Galatians 5:17 tells us that the flesh fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's the characteristic of a believer, a very frustrated person who wants to do what they want to do, but God's Spirit won't let them. That's why he has come to live within. He's in the control room. He's there to say, down, Fido. Back, back, sit. Stay. So in verse 1, he opens up by telling us the position of the believer. Interesting, in the first hour, we talked about the position of the believer. And here in Romans 8, 1, he's also talking about the position of the believer. In verse 2, it is the conversion. In verse 3, it is the substitution for the believer. In verse 4, the justification of the believer. My position in Christ, and again, it's because of the term in Christ Jesus. In the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us that for everyone who has received Christ in the spirit realm, positionally, they are in Christ in the spirit realm at the right hand of the throne of God. We are there permanently, and it'll never change, ever. And as I said the first hour, because Satan cannot take our position and relationship with Christ away, he works through the physical to influence our natural human senses to judge life and evaluate life and even judge ourselves through our own human evaluation. He works on the mind. He stirs up the emotions. He works through circumstances to get us caught up in them so that we lose the realization of our position in Christ in the spirit realm. We don't lose our position. We lose the realization of our position in the spirit realm. But this today, this information today is what is encouraging for us. Because Paul, by saying then, he's looking back at the struggle that he has just presented. The flesh. And coming to a conclusion, which is very discouraging, is that in my physical body, my flesh is the law of sin, and it'll never be saved. It can never keep the law of God. And yet in the inner man where Christ dwells, that's where my relationship with the Lord is. So now I've got these two elements. One's fighting against the other, but always realize that whenever we say, and I say it all the time, I am struggling with the flesh. I'm trying to serve the Lord. I don't really have a struggle. Because the flesh is fighting against God's Spirit, not me. It's just that in a human, I take it personal. Oh, there's Satan stirring up my flesh again. So what are you going to do? Kick him out? Fight him? Beat him up? It won't do you any good. Your flesh is going to bother you anyway. This is why Jesus lives within, is because it's his battle, not mine. My flesh is fighting against the Spirit of God, not me. But I get bummed out. That's how deceitful things are in the flesh. Oh, bad day. I'm really a bummer. My flesh is fighting against God's spirit, and I'm really bummed. Why? Well, I'm struggling with my flesh. Well, that's your problem. What do you want to struggle with your flesh for? You're in Christ. The flesh is fighting against Christ, not against you. The thing to take into consideration is whether the Lord is strong enough and powerful enough and faithful enough to stay with you through thick and thin and to take you through everything, and that His Spirit's in charge. That's what we spend many years studying this book to arrive at a place where we can trust the Lord and not go by what is in the physical realm, what is dictating to us, or what it looks like, or what it feels like, or what it seems like. Sometimes we're even deceived by thinking, well, maybe the Holy Spirit feels that way. Maybe God's Spirit is telling me, that's what it seems to be. You know? No. He knows. In fact, I was reading a devotion this week by a man that said, I take comfort in knowing that in my circumstances, God has already been there and gone. He's already taken care of it. He's already been there. That's who He is. He's God. And if He's God, it's taken care of. My flesh doesn't like it, but that's, you know, too bad. But it's emphasized in the Greek text. Now, and by the way, that's for you Greeksters, that's the word for now in time. Not now in summary or now in continuation. It is now in time. Now, right now, there is not one judgment against the ones who are in Christ Jesus. Not one. You might be able to find my picture down at the post office. Mark keeps taking it down. So the FBI has been looking for me for years, but we have insiders in the post office that keep taking the pictures down. Don't worry, he gets leverage with it. Hey, brother, remember the little picture? Yeah. But if you were to look on my spiritual account to see if there's any warrants for my arrest, and then there is not one judgment against me right now in Christ. To those who are in Christ Jesus. And the reason that's so important is because as I go through the struggles of life, one of the things that you go through in your discouragement and in your depression is that you're down on yourself. Oh, I'm not handling this very well. Oh, if I wasn't this way, I wouldn't be going through this. And oh, I'm such a terrible person. It's not that that isn't true. It's just that's just half the truth. Because it's God's Spirit that comes and says, in spite of all that, what your evaluation is, I'm here. And when I complain, I'm complaining about His Spirit in control and how His Spirit's taking care of it. But as I am in this struggle and as I go through the weaknesses of my flesh, and as I struggle with my sin and as I confess my sin before God and ask for His mercy, there is not one judgment or condemnation against me in Christ. That's very important. In fact, I even have people tell me, how can you be a Christian? Look at you. Look what you do. That's not based on, and I, you know, I'm not proud of that, what they see in the weaknesses, but I'm very proud to tell them that that's what God does. He doesn't receive you because you're perfect. He receives you because you're imperfect. And because of the Lord's death on the cross, he's taken care of all the condemnation and judgments that are against me. My record's clear. Now, the last part of this verse says, in explanation about those in Christ Jesus. Verse 1 says, here's the addition that's in the Textus Receptus for the King James, to the ones in Christ Jesus who are not walking according to flesh, but according to spirit. That's in verse 1 of the King James translation as well as the Greek text, Textus Receptus. That is obviously a copy of from verse 4 where it is original. But again, we have problems. Here's the problem. There are some people that teach, and again, just stop at verse 1. And wouldn't you know that we in the ministry were responsible for this? We love, for some reason, to point out people's faults. We do not want them to be forgiven. We do not want God's mercy on them. We want them to feel guilty. So we came up with a doctrine and said, well, here, you know, in case, don't think that you're off the hook, because these are Christians who are not walking according to flesh, but are walking according to the Spirit. So if you're a Christian and you're walking according to the flesh, you are condemned. This is only for Christians who are walking according to the Spirit. So don't think, I don't want you to be encouraged and refreshed and thankful to the Lord for, and give you the freedom to go out and do whatever you want, because there's no judgment against you. I got to make you feel guilty. In verse 9, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to that. Turn to that. Romans 8, 9. In verse 8, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That Paul explains his own terms and definitions. He's not talking about a Christian that struggles between walking according to the flesh and according to the Spirit. He's talking about salvation. If you're saved, you are walking according to the Spirit, and if you're not saved, you're walking according to the flesh. That's what he says. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. So there's your definitions. Again, see, if you don't take the whole section and let Paul's definitions establish for you what kind of people he's talking to. If you stop at verse 1, you can make a whole lot of believers feel guilty. Not because we like people to feel guilty, but because if we tell them the truth, they might say, gee, I can do whatever I feel like doing. There's no condemnation for me. And again, it's because of our lack of understanding. I, even in this church, probably at least a couple of times, and I've shared this with other pastors, and it didn't go over well, so I don't share it anymore. I thought it was pretty funny, but some people don't have my humor. But I told them, yeah, there's been at least a couple of times I've told the people in our church, if you want to sin, go ahead. If you can go out and sin and it not bother you, then I question your salvation. But see, I'm telling you, go out and sin if you have the Spirit of Christ in you. I'm not doing you a favor, because the Holy Spirit will be there, put the clamps on you. like 1 John chapter 3. It's impossible to continue in the habitual life of sin if God's Spirit dwells in you. John says you can commit acts of sin, but you cannot continue to live a lifestyle of sin with God's Spirit in you. Why? Because God's Spirit opposes the things of the flesh. He's bigger than I am, stronger than I am, stronger than my flesh, and that's why he lives inside of me. So yeah, go ahead and go out and sin. For the people who are not saved, they'll be relieved. They'll be down at Elmer's, drinking it up, and somebody's going to say, I thought you were a Christian. Yeah, but our pastor said, you know. But the believer will try to do it, and the most miserable person on the earth is not a non-believer who's in their sin. It is a believer who's in his or her sins, and they've got the Holy Spirit in them grieving. And I'd be the kind of pastor to come by while you're sipping the suds down at Elmer's, say, enjoying yourself? You having a nice time? Knowing that God's Spirit is faithful. You're not giving people license for sin. The law doesn't keep us from sin. It's the Holy Spirit. So why not tell people the truth? Because every believer, no matter what appearance we give to other people when we come to church, we get all dressed up. Well, I had a great week. Oh, my. It's just, I mastered my flesh this week and just had a wonderful time. No, we usually have rough times. But in our day and age, you don't dare give off that impression when you go to church because people jump all over you. What is your problem? Where's your faith? Where's your joy? I get so tired of hearing that I put joy on right before everybody shows up. So that nobody asks me, what's your problem? So then they start asking me, what's your problem? So what are you going to do? Everybody who is in Christ are those people who are walking according to the Spirit. That is, God's Spirit's influence is over their life, whether they're aware of it or not. And if I'm in the flesh and carnal, like Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a believer can be carnal and be influenced by the flesh. Again, it's because we're so strong in the flesh, we spend so much time all week long strengthening our human senses by being so involved with the world that when Satan strikes with a trial and a tribulation, we have trouble switching the dial to the other frequency. How do I get in the how do I understand the spirit? How do I get in the spirit here? He's already there. So that's the encouragement in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 5. Last half of Hebrews chapter 5, is that your function in the spirit realm is dependent upon you having your inner faculties exercised by the Word of God. That's what it says. We spend our time strengthening everything else. What about our spiritual sensitivity to the things of Christ? In fact, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5 states the fact that they used to be mature in their function, their sensitivity and the realization of Christ and his truths in and amongst the human element. But they had become dull of hearing. You just don't arrive at a certain position and say, well, I've been studying the Bible now for 73 years. That's my default number. I've been studying the Bible for 73 years, so I'm at this level of understanding and sensitivity and function in the spirit realm. No. You could know the Lord for 40, 50 years and then wind up back being a babe in Christ again in your understanding. Why? Because Hebrews 5, the writer says you have left off from having your inner senses exercised by the Word of God. So my strong element naturally is my flesh. So it means spiritually I got to pump iron. All he asks us to do is stay exposed to God's Spirit through his Word. Notice how I phrased that. I didn't say Bible study in church. God's Spirit through his Word. And my inner faculties become exercised. It is important to me. I don't know if it's important to you. It's important to me to know that in the midst of my struggle with my flesh, just like you do, when I see myself and I get all self-centered and I see how weak I am and the person that I want to be, but it's the person I can't be. It's nice to know that there's no judgment or condemnation against me at all. Can you imagine if we stand before the Lord and the Lord says, well, you've known me for 40 years. Every day you struggle with weakness of the flesh. That's not very good. Mm-mm. Every day. No, it's because he knows we are struggling. He left us in this position. Wouldn't you rather just have the Lord remove sin out of your body too? And just, well, that'd be great. He left us in this condition. Why? So that we would look inward where Christ dwells. If our flesh didn't bother us, we wouldn't bother the Lord. In the morning, we get up and say, top of the morning to you, thanks a lot. That's it. If that. But he makes it so everything outwardly, even my physical body, I cannot even depend upon that. So that we go through a process of elimination. Here's what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is things outwardly get eliminated. Your physical body gets eliminated until you're focused on Christ within. It's a growth process. We are walking according to the Spirit of God and his influence. We just aren't sensitive. We lose the realization of it because we're strong in the flesh. But it's encouraging to know, first of all, we are in Christ, and we are walking according to Spirit and not according to the flesh. It's a factual statement. It's nice to know that he is already there and that he is ministering and influencing my life in his fullness already. Now it's for me in the days and weeks and months ahead to tap into that. Be sensitive to the spirit realm. Be sensitive to him being there. Be sensitive to who he is. Be sensitive to God's influence over my life. In spite of the fact the flesh is freaking out. Emotionally, psychologically, even physically. It's breaking down. Oh, well, that's just to get me distracted, you see. to get me distracted. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. We cannot thank you enough. We cannot even sing our thanks to you enough. Each week we learn more and more what it means that you have blessed us with every spiritual truth in the spirit realm in Christ. And that in the midst of our struggle, we still have the promise that on our account, because of the death of Christ, there is no judgment or condemnation against us. That is those who are in Christ. Not those who believe mentally, but those who are literally in Christ and Christ's Spirit is in them. The ones who are not walking according to the flesh, but who are walking according to the Spirit. And we thank you that you're already with us and in us and ministering to us in your fullness. Just that we haven't plugged into your frequency. Everything about you is spirit and truth in the spirit realm, but we must grow to be a person of dimension, to not only be aware of the physical realm, but also the spirit realm behind the physical that we function in. So that we might trust Christ. We pray for your continued leading us and guidance in this growth process. Help us to understand the difference between the physical and the spirit realm. And teach us to walk with you and trust you in the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.